Good evening. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you get enough to eat? You sure? You're still hungry. Oh, good. We're having a theme camp coming up. And it is, by the way, May 20th through the 22nd. Starting at 4 p.m., Knob Noster State Park, Camp Bob White, Knob Noster, Missouri. Little plug there. But our theme is found in Second Book of Nephi, chapter 14, verse 4. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon, and this is the theme here, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things, what ye should do. And we're going to be feasting upon the words of Christ tonight. John chapter 1 refers to Christ as being the Word, and He created all things from the beginning. And so we are going to feast on some of that word tonight. And my theme for today, tonight, is who shall declare his generation, his being Jesus Christ. And I'm going to take... Or we're going to read from the perspective of a great prophet of old, a great prophet who gave up his life that he might preach the resurrection and salvation of Christ. He gave his life because he was preaching to a people who would not listen, who would not receive Christ. So let's turn now to Second Book of Nephi. Excuse me. Turn to Book of Mosiah, chapter 7. And I'm going to begin in verse 76. And to give you a little introduction, Abinadi prophesied against this people. And against their king. And against the priests of this people, because they had said that they had taught so that I don't have to get give an introduction, so that you understand what's going on, I'm going to begin in verse 45. And it came to pass that after the space of 2 years, that Abinadi came among them in disguise, and they knew him not, and began again to prophesy among them. So he had been before to prophesy to them, to warn them that if they didn't repent, that there would be destruction. So he came again after 2 years, saying, thus hath the Lord commanded me, saying, Abinadi, go and prophesy unto this people, for they have hardened their hearts against my words. They have repented not of their evil doings. Therefore I will visit them in my anger. Yea, in my fierce anger will I visit them in their iniquities and abominations. Yea, and woe be unto this generation. And the Lord said unto me, stretch forth thy hand and prophesy, saying, thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that this generation, because of their iniquities, shall be brought into bondage and shall be smitten on the cheek. Yea, and shall be driven by men, and shall be slain, and the vultures of the air, and the dogs, yea, the wild beasts, shall devour their flesh. And it shall come to pass that the life of King Noah shall be valued even as a garment in a hot furnace, for he shall know that I am the Lord. God is a just God. Verse 51, and it shall come to pass that I will smite this, my people, with sore afflictions, yea, with famine and with pestilence, and I will cause that they shall howl all the day long. Yea, and I will cause that they shall have burdens lashed upon their backs, and they shall be driven before like a dumb ass. And it shall come to pass that I will send forth hail among them, and it shall smite them, and they shall also be smitten with the east wind. And insects shall pester their land also, and devour their grain, and they shall be smitten with a great pestilence. And all this will I do because of their iniquities and abominations. And it shall come to pass that, except they repent, and I will utterly destroy them from off the face of the earth. Yet they shall leave a record behind them, and that's the record we have. There was one listening to this prophesying among them, one who was obedient, Alma, and that's why we have this record. Yet they shall leave a record behind them, and I will preserve them for other nations, which shall possess the land. Yea, even this will I do, and I will discover the abominations of this people to other nations. And many things did Abinadi prophesy against this people. And it came to pass that they were angry with him, and they took him, and carried him bound before the king, and saith unto the king, behold, we have brought a man before thee, which has prophesied evil concerning this people, and saith that God will destroy them. And he also prophesieth evil concerning thy life, and saith that thy life shall be a garment, as a garment in a furnace of fire. And again he saith that thou shalt be as a stalk, even as a dry stalk of the field, which is run over by the beasts and trodden under foot. And again he saith, thou shalt be as the blossoms of a thistle, which when it is fully ripe, if the wind bloweth, it is driven forth upon the face of the land. And he pretendeth, the Lord hath spoken it. And he saith, all this shall come upon thee, except thou repent, and this because of thine iniquities. And now, O king, what great evil hast thou done? Or what great sins have thy people committed, that we should be condemned of God, or judged of this man? And now, O king, behold, we are guiltless, and thou, O king, hast not sinned. Therefore this man hath lied concerning you, and he hath prophesied in vain. You see the hardness of their hearts? And that's how we can get when we believe the lies of this world, when we believe that we can get away with a little sin, that it's all right if we dabble here and there, that's hardness of the heart entering in. And that's how they were. They didn't accept that they had sinned. And behold, we are strong. We shall not come into bondage, or be taken captive by our enemies. Yea, and thou hast prospered in the land, and thou shalt also prosper. It's funny that when I was in Honduras, probably 13, 14 years ago now, I read to them from the 9th and 10th chapters of the 3rd book of Nephi of what shall come upon this nation when we're ripe in iniquity. The destruction that's promised. And they just could not imagine that. And I think there are many within our country that cannot imagine the destruction that will come if we do not repent of the evil that is in the land. Verse Behold, here is the man. We deliver him into thy hands. Thou mayest do with him as seemeth thee good. And it came to pass that King Noah caused that Abinadi should be cast into prison. And he commandeth that the priests should gather themselves together, that he might hold a council with them, what he should do with them, with him. And it came to pass that they saith unto the king, Bring him hither, that we may question him. And the king commanded that he should be brought before them. See their pride. And they began to question him, that they might cross him, that thereby they might have wherewith to accuse him. But he answered them boldly, and withstood all their questions, yea, to their astonishment. For he did withstand them in all their questions, and did confound them in all their words. And it came to pass that one of them saith unto him, What meanest the words which are written, and which have been taught by our fathers, saying, How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth, that thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And you see, I'm reading it in this way because I believe that he was trying to cross Abinadi once again, saying, why aren't you preaching of good tidings of good? Why aren't you preaching of this unity and this love and seeing eye to eye? Because of their iniquities, he wasn't preaching that. And he will teach them the significance of this verse and how beautiful it is, and we'll read that later. And now Abinadi saith unto them, Are you priests, and pretend to teach this people, and to understand the spirit of prophesying, and yet desirous to know of me what these things mean? I say unto you, woe be unto you for perverting the ways of the Lord. For if ye understand these things, ye have not taught them. Therefore ye have perverted the ways of the Lord. Ye have not applied your hearts to understanding. Stop there. Are we applying to our hearts to understanding? Are we reading his word and studying it in a manner that we really desire to know what it says and what it means, that we can witness of it, that we can declare it to others? Ye have not applied your hearts to understanding. Therefore, ye have not been wise. Therefore, what teachest thou this people? And they said, We teach the law of Moses. And again he saith unto them, If ye teach the law of Moses, why do ye keep it not? Or why do ye not keep it? Very similar to the commandments of Christ. We know them, or we should know them. Do we keep them? Why do ye set your hearts upon riches? It's a temptation we have. Why do ye commit whoredoms and spend your strength with harlots? That includes, in our day, pornography and things and movies that we shouldn't be seeing. And cause this people to commit sin. Why do ye commit whoredoms and spend your strength with harlots? Yea, and cause this people to commit sin, that the Lord hath sent me to prophesy against this people. Yea, even a great evil against this people. Knowest thou not that I speak the truth? So he's putting the blame to these priests for not teaching them the things of truth, that he has to prophesy evil against this people rather than preach Rather than teach truth, they've taught them evil, because maybe they've taught them some of the law of Moses, but they've lived in another way. They taught by example another way. Verse 89, yea, thou knowest that I speak the truth, and ye had ought to tremble before God. And it shall come to pass that ye shall be smitten for thine iniquities, for ye have said that ye teach the law of Moses. And what knowest thou concerning the law of Moses? Doth salvation come by the law of Moses? What sayest thou? And they answered and said, that salvation did come by the law of Moses. And Abinadi saith unto them, I know, if ye keep the commandments of God, ye shall be saved. Yea, if ye keep the commandments which the Lord delivered unto Moses in the Mount of Sinai, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything in heaven above, or things which are in the earth beneath. Now Abinadi saith unto them, have ye done all this? I say unto you, nay, ye have not. And have ye taught this people that they should do all these things? I say unto you, nay, ye have not. And now when the king had heard these words, he said unto his priests, away with this fellow and slay him, for what have we to do with him? For he is mad. Did not want to receive the word of God. And they stood forth and attempted to lay their hands on him. But he withstood them and said unto them, touch me not, for God shall smite you if ye lay your hands upon me. For I have not delivered the message which the Lord sent me to deliver, neither have I told you that which ye requested that I should tell. Therefore, God will not suffer that I shall be destroyed at this time, but I must fulfill the commandments wherewith God hath commanded me. And because I have told you the truth, ye are angry with me. And again, because I have spoken the word of God, ye have judged me that I am mad. Now, it came to pass that after Abinadi had spoken these words, that the people of King Noah durst not lay their hands on him. For the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and his face shone with exceeding luster, even as Moses did while in the Mount of Sinai, while speaking with the Lord. And he spake with power and authority from God, and he continued his words, saying, ye see that ye have not power to slay me. Therefore I finish my message. Yea, and I perceive that it cuts you to your hearts, because I tell you the truth concerning your iniquities. Yea, and my words fill you with wonder and amazement and with anger. But I finish my message, and then it matters not whither I go, if it so be that I am saved. But this much I tell you, what you do with me after this shall be a type and a shadow of things which are to come. And now I read unto you the remainder of the commandments of God, for I perceive that they are not written in your hearts. I perceive that ye have studied and taught iniquity the most part of your lives. And now ye remember that I said unto you, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and any likeness of things which are in heaven above, or which are in the earth beneath, or which are in the water under the earth. And again, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and show mercy, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless, that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy man, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Incidentally, I'd like to read a little bit from the third book of Nephi, the commandments of Christ, when he compares these commandments given through Moses to his commandments. It's found in third book of Nephi, chapter 5, verse 67. On page 637. For third book of Nephi, chapter 5, verse 67. Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore come unto me and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I want you to notice as we're reading these commandments, the commandment, the Ten Commandments, compared to these commandments of Christ, that the Ten Commandments are commandments that are saying, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. Christ's commandments are here in the heart. They are what affect the heart, that cause us, if we do those things that Christ commands us not to do, they affect the heart and cause us to do the things that are spoken against in the Ten Commandments. So let me just read them and you'll notice this. Verse 69, ye have heard that hath been said by them of old time, and it is written before you that thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, Christ said, that whosoever is angry with his brother, he's dealing with the heart, what we allow to enter our heart. Whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if ye shall come unto me, or shall desire to come unto me, and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest any time he shall get thee, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost senine. And while that ye are in prison, can ye pay even one senine? Verily, verily, I say unto you, nay. Here we go, another commandment of the Ten Commandments. Behold, it is written by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Once again, dealing with our thoughts. Thoughts of being angry, thoughts of lust, thoughts These are temptations that come our way. Temptations, darts of the devil. They're going to come to all us. They came to Christ. He says he was tempted in all ways like we are. But if we allow them to dwell in our hearts, that is sin. And so, but if we resist temptation, then we will not disobey or fall to one of the sins of the Ten Commandments. So it's all summarized here in the 78th verse. Behold, I give unto you a commandment that ye suffer none of these things to enter into your hearts, for it is better that ye should deny yourselves of these things, wherein ye will take up your cross, than ye should be cast into hell. So we should sacrifice those pleasures of this life, not be tempted by those things that the devil sends our way, that we might be saved. Let's now turn back to the 8th chapter of Mosiah, verse 1. And it came to pass that after Abinadi had made an end of these sayings, in other words, speaking those 10 commandments, that he said unto them, have ye taught this people that they should observe to do all these things? For to keep these commandments, I say unto you, nay. For if ye had, the Lord would have not have caused me to come forth and to prophesy evil concerning this people. And now ye have said that salvation cometh by the law of Moses. I say unto you that it is expedient ye should keep the law of Moses as yet. See, they were before the first coming of Christ. They were before his sacrifice and his resurrection. But I say unto you that the time shall come when it shall no more be expedient to keep the law of Moses. And moreover, I say unto you that salvation doth not come by the law alone. And were it not for the atonement which God himself shall make for the sins and iniquities of his people, that they should unavoidably perish, notwithstanding the law of Moses. And now I say unto you that it was expedient that there should be a law given unto the children of Israel, yea, even a very strict law. For they were a stiff-necked people, quick to do iniquity and slow to remember the Lord their God. Therefore, there was a law given, yea, a law of performances and of ordinances, a law which they were to observe strictly from day to day to keep them in remembrance of God and their duty towards him. But behold, I say unto you that all these things were types of things to come. And if you read the book of Hebrews, you'll find out about those types, about those ordinances and performances of the law, and how they were types of Christ, of his sacrifice, of him being the priest and the sacrifice. And it's so fascinating, if you do that study in Hebrews, to find out how he fulfilled the law. But behold, I say unto you that all these things were types of things to come. And now, did they understand the law? I say unto you, nay, they did not understand the law. And this because of the hardness of their hearts. And this is speaking of Israel. For they understood not that there could not any man be saved except it were through the redemption of God. For behold, did not Moses prophesy unto them concerning the coming of the Messiah, and that God should redeem his people, yea, and even all the prophets which ever prophesied ever since the world began? And our brother Shad referred to that this morning, that all the prophets prophesied of him. Even all the prophets, it says that they prophesied concerning the coming of the Messiah, that God should redeem his people, yea, even all the prophets which have prophesied ever since the world began. Have they not spoken more or less concerning these things? Have they not said that God himself should come down among the children of men and take upon him the form of man and go forth in mighty power upon the face of the earth? Yea, and have they not said also that he should bring to pass the resurrection of the dead and that he himself should be oppressed and afflicted? Yea, even doth not Isaiah say, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This is prophesying of Christ and Israel seeing him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him not. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So they saw him as a poor man. They rejected him. They didn't receive him. They saw him as a thief when he was nailed to the cross. They saw him as a criminal, as a blasphemer. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? And that's my question tonight. Who shall declare his generation? Who shall declare his gospel? Who shall declare his example? Who shall declare his sacrifice? Who shall declare his resurrection? Who shall declare his salvation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no evil, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Can you imagine? He saw us, if we are the believing. If we believe, as our brother Sean preached this morning, if we believe everything he said, everything he did, he saw us as he died on the cross. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. And was he not great? He was so great. He is so great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And now Abinadi saith unto them, I would that ye should understand that God himself
shall come down among the children of men and shall redeem his people. And because he dwelleth in flesh, he shall be called the Son of God. And having subjected the flesh to the will of the Father, being the Father and the Father because he was conceived by the power of God, and the Son because of the flesh, and thus becoming the Father and Son. And they are one God, yea, the very eternal Father of heaven and of earth. And thus the flesh becoming subject to the Spirit, or the Son to the Father, being one God, suffereth temptation and yieldeth not to the temptation, but suffereth himself to be mocked and scourged and cast out and disowned by his people. And after all this, and after working many mighty miracles among the children of men, he shall be led, yea, even as Isaiah said, as a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so opened not his mouth. So he opened not his mouth. And he wants us to be just like him. The example he set, as we're faced with the temptations of life, that we submit our will to the will of God, just as he submitted his will to the will of the Father, we should do the same. Yea, even so, he shall be led, crucified and slain, the flesh becoming subject even unto death, the will of the Son being swallowed up in the will of the Father. And thus God breaketh the bands of death. That's how he broke it. Christ submitting himself to the will of the Father. We sang before I stood up here about him in the garden and his sweat. Sweating blood from every pore because of his anguish and the fears he was tempted with. And yet, through all that, knowing of the pain he would be submitted to, knowing that he was crucified there by his people when he had submitted himself for his people, knowing that he was going to receive the chastisement of our iniquities, yet he was willing to submit himself, submit his own will, to live as you and I desire to live. He submitted that to his Father to fulfill all righteousness, that he might break the bands of death, that we might have resurrection and salvation, that we might be redeemed and saved. And thus God breaketh the bands of death, having gained the victory over death and giving the Son power to make intercession for the children of men. So now he is our advocate. Having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, being filled with compassion toward the children of men, standing betwixt them and judgment, having broken the bands of death, taking upon himself their iniquity and their transgressions, having redeemed them and satisfied the demands of justice. That's why we have opportunity for salvation, because he, being perfect, offered himself a sacrifice for our sins. And now I say unto you, who shall declare his generation? Who shall declare his gospel to those who are out there who know not of it? They may have heard something about it, but deceived. Thank you. They've been deceived. They've been deceived by the lies of this world that they can continue in their sin and yet be saved. That is so rampant out there. Sometimes in our thoughts, we believe it ourselves, and it's not true. But if we believe him and believe his words, and we follow them to the ends of our lives, we obey him, then we have that free gift of salvation, because no, none of us could ever earn it. We could never deserve it. It's only in and through this, what we are reading now, that we can be saved. This sacrifice he made and his resurrection. And now I say unto you, who shall declare his generation? Behold, I say unto you that when his soul has been made an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He'll see us if we believe in him. And now, what say ye? And who shall be his seed? Behold, I say unto you that whosoever hath heard the words of the prophets, yea, all the holy prophets which have prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord, I say unto you that all those who have hearkened unto their words and believed that the Lord would redeem his people and have looked forward to that day for a remission of their sins, I say unto you that these are his seed, or they are heirs of the kingdom of God. For these are they whose sins he hath borne. These are they for whom he hath died to redeem them from their transgressions. And now are they not his seed? Yea. And are not the prophets, every one that has opened his mouth to prophesy, that has not fallen into transgression? I mean all the holy prophets ever since the world began. I say unto you that they are his seed. And these are they which have published peace. And here he's getting around to the answer to the question. These are they of whom Isaiah prophesied. These are they which hath published peace, that hath brought good tidings of good, that hath published salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And oh, how beautiful upon the mountains were their feet. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that are still publishing peace. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who shall hereafter publish peace. Yea, from this time henceforth and forever. Doesn't that make you want to publish peace? To be his beautiful feet? And behold, I say unto you, this is not all. For oh, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that is the founder of peace. Yea, even the Lord, who hath redeemed his people. Yea, him who hath granted salvation unto his people. For were it not for the redemption which he hath made for his people, which was prepared from the foundation of the world, I say unto you, were it not for this, that all mankind must have perished. But behold, the bands of death shall be broken. And he says, shall be, because he was once again before that great sacrifice. But behold, the bands of death shall be broken, and the Son reigneth, and hath power over the dead. Therefore he bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead. And there cometh a resurrection, even a first resurrection. Yea, even a resurrection of those that have been, and which are, and which shall be, even until the resurrection of Christ. For so shall he be called. And now, the resurrection of all the holy, all the prophets, and all those that believed in their words, or all those that kept the commandments of God, these shall come forth in the first resurrection. Therefore, they are the first resurrection. They are raised to dwell with God, who hath redeemed them. Thus they have eternal life through Christ, who hath broken the bands of death. And I want to read when that happened. It's found in Matthew chapter 27. When this first resurrection occurred. And it's found in Matthew 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, Why hast thou forsaken me? The flesh was crying out there, the profound pain of what his people had done to him, and the pain of the actual pain of what his body was going through at the time. 47, some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Remember, he was the first. And then they came after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Many saw this great event happen, this which was prophesied, this first resurrection. Verse 50, back in Mosiah chapter 8, verse 58. And speaking of these who arose at the first resurrection, it says in verse 58, "And these are those which have part in the first resurrection. And these are they which have died before Christ came, in their ignorance, not having salvation declared unto them. And thus the Lord bringeth about the restoration of these, and they have a part in the first resurrection, and have eternal life, being redeemed by the Lord. And the little children, and little children also have eternal life. But behold, and fear, and tremble before God, for ye had ought to tremble. For the Lord redeemeth none such that rebelleth against him, and dieth in their sins." I'm going to repeat that, because the lie is once again rampant in our world that this is not true. But it is true, and I'm going to repeat it again. For the Lord redeemeth none such that rebelleth against him and dieth in their sins. Yea, even all those that have perished in their sins ever since the world began, that have willfully rebelled against God, that have known the commandments of God and would not keep them. These are they that have no part in the first resurrection. Therefore ye had ought to tremble. For salvation cometh to none such, for the Lord hath redeemed none such. Yea, neither can the Lord redeem such, for he cannot deny himself. For he cannot deny justice when it hath its claim. And now I say unto you that the time shall come that the salvation of the Lord shall be declared to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Yea, Lord, thy watchmen shall lift up their voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. So that's where we're being told when that prophecy is fulfilled, when the salvation of the Lord, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be declared to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. It says, "Yea, Lord, thy watchmen shall lift up their voice. With the voice together they shall sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And now it came to pass that after Abinadi had spoken these words, he stretched forth his hand and said, the time shall come when all shall see the salvation of the Lord, when every nation, kindred, tongue, and people shall see eye to eye and shall confess before God that his judgments are just. And then shall the wicked be cast out, and they shall have cause to howl and weep and wail and gnash their teeth. And this because they would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore the Lord redeemeth them not, for they are carnal and devilish, and the devil hath power over them. Yea, even the old serpent that did beguile their first parents, which was the cause of their fall, which was the cause of all mankind becoming carnal, sensual, devilish, knowing evil from good, subjecting themselves to the devil. Thus all mankind were lost, and behold, they would have been endlessly lost, were it not that God redeemed his people from their lost and fallen state. But remember that he that persists in his own carnal nature and goes on in his own, in the ways of sin and rebellion against God, he remaineth in his fallen state. And the devil hath all power over him. Therefore, he is as though there was no redemption made, being an enemy to God, and also is the devil an enemy to God. And now if Christ had not come into the world speaking of things to come, as though they had already come, there could have been no redemption. And if Christ had not risen from the dead, or have broken the bands of death, that the grave should have no victory, and that death should have no sting, there could have been no resurrection. But there is a resurrection. Therefore the grave hath no victory, and the sting of death is swallowed up in Christ. He is the light and the life of the world, yea, a light that is endless, that can never be darkened. Yea, and also, can you see that victory? Can you feel that victory? That he gained that victory there. And that we have all opportunity to that victory if we will follow him, obey him, believe in him, and trust only in his merits. It is so great, that light and that life, when we take hold of it, when we believe it, when we follow him. He is the light and the life of the world, yea, a light that is endless, that can never be darkened, yea, and also a life which is endless, that there can be no more death. Even this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption, and shall be brought to stand before the bar of God, to be judged of him according to their works. Everybody will go to be judged, whether they judged of him according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And if they be good, to the resurrection of endless life and happiness. And if they be evil, to the resurrection of endless damnation, being delivered up to the devil who hath subjected them, which is damnation, having gone according to their own carnal wills and desires, and having never called upon the Lord while the arms of mercy were extended towards them. For the arms of mercy were extended towards them, and they would not. They being warned of their iniquities, and yet would not depart from them. And they were commanded to repent, and yet they would not. And now had ye ought to tremble, and repent of your sins, and remember, only in and through Christ can ye be saved. And only in and through Christ ye can be saved. Therefore, if ye teach the law of Moses, also teach. Well, I'm going to stop there.
And I'm going to read that last verse again. And now ye ought to tremble. And now had ye ought to tremble and repent of your sins and remember only in and through Christ ye can be saved. May God bless us that we would repent of all of our sins, that we would seek to keep all of his commandments, that those things that we have felt the Holy Spirit working on us to get rid of in our lives, that we would get rid of for the cause of Christ, and that we would get on to serving him. He has so much for us to do. We are living in a time that is filled with the fulfillment of prophecy. Prophecy is being fulfilled at this time. And we have a part and a portion in his work if we will believe him and keep his commandments and trust in him. We can only keep his commandments by trusting in his merits, by asking that Holy Spirit to guide us in every decision we make, asking God to take all of our possessions and use them for his honor and glory, asking him to take our lives and guide us in being his servants. And he will. He says that if we ask for anything that's good, we shall receive. So let's ask him that we might be his servants and be obedient to his commandments. And when we made that covenant with him in the waters of baptism to serve him the rest of our lives, we took upon ourselves the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, knowing that every decision we made and act we did, that we would be doing it in his name. And he gave us his Spirit that we might do that which is good. Let us fulfill that covenant we made with him and endure by faith in him to the ends of our lives. May God bless us.